Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, look, with a big statewide show like this, we can get great authors on this show. We can get great speakers on this show. We could book national guest after all day long. But this is the show where Montana gets to talk. This is kind of your one shot for you to be heard all across Montana. So that being said, if I'm going to book like a national guest on this show, typically I'll do it if there's a Montana angle to it, or, you know, if it's somebody in the Trump administration or a big speaker coming here to Montana. Not with this one. I'm not even going to wait for Scott Jennings, who's like the lone voice in the darkness, the voice calling out in the wilderness. He's like the lone common sense guy on CNN. I'm not going to wait until he's scheduled to be a speaker here in Montana, or he's coming to Montana for some trip or some event. I got an opportunity to chat with Scott Jennings from CNN. I'm getting Scott Jennings on the show. So anyway, we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. It's going to be great to have Scott Jennings join us on the show. Yeah, apparently he's got a new book out. And so we're going to talk to him about that and much more. This new book is an unprecedented inside look at how President Donald Trump has retaken Washington by storm in his historic second term, written with the participation of the president and his inner circle. From the Oval Office to Air Force One, and from his unique perch as the most popular conservative commentator at CNN, Jennings provides a revelatory look at the dramatic return of Donald Trump to the White House and his efforts to restore common sense to American government and save Western civilization in the process. So Scott Jennings coming up here in just a few minutes. Speaking of restoring common sense to the American government, well, we can play ball. After a swing and a miss from the Biden Interior Department, the federal government is now dropping its lawsuit against the Glacier Range Riders baseball team in Kalispell. Do you guys remember this one? Remember when the Biden Park Service, the Biden Interior Department, filed a lawsuit against a baseball team in Kalispell because they claimed that the Range Riders arrowhead logo could be mistaken for the National Park Service logo. And you can see a side-by-side of both logos on our Montana Talks website right now. But, yeah, we can play ball after a swing and miss from the Biden Interior Department, thanks to the new Common Sense Trump Interior Department. That lawsuit has now been dropped. Montana's Western District Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke shared the news over the weekend, calling it a great day for the Range Riders. The previous administration's weaponization of the federal government against Kalispell's family-owned minor league baseball team was the worst case of federal overreach I've seen. So as Scott Jennings is going to talk about here in a few minutes, common sense is being returned, not just to Washington, but to Interior as well.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, by the way, that story about the Glacier Range Riders and the Biden Interior Department filing that lawsuit that's now been dismissed thanks to the Trump team. Full story, MontanaTalks.com. Hey, if you guys don't sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet, man, you have got to sign up for this. It's always great business news. Several headlines stood out to me as I was chatting with Evelyn Pyburn about these news stories from the Big Sky Business Journal earlier this morning. Here's just three headlines that I'll share with you. Bringing back sawmills. Congress considers mine expansion. And then the third one, Montana's porous border. Let me do a couple quick hits for you here first before we get to Scott Jennings in a few minutes. The Montana State Legislature passed the Sawmill Revitalization Act, House Bill 876. This is from Representative John Fitzpatrick, a Republican out of Anaconda. Basically, this would designate $6 million to be made available for loans administered by the State Board of Investments to reactivate closed sawmills in Montana. And for those who've been keeping track, Fitzpatrick noted that in the early 1970s, Montana had over 50 operating sawmills. That's down to about five now. Most recently, sawmills in St. Regis and Seeley Lake closed. So will this bill help make our timber industry great again? That's my question after seeing good news headline there. I know it's a small amount of money, but maybe that will be enough to spur investment back into our sawmills. The other one, good news, Congress has tucked an 800-acre expansion for Signal Peak Energy's Bull Mountain coal mine into this budget reconciliation bill that cleared its first committee vote. This was according to a report from the left-wing Montana Free Press. The Natural Resources Committee's bill authorizes Signal Peak Energy to access federally owned coal beneath the Bull Mountains mine in accordance with their expansion plan. So this is huge news. This would help keep that coal mine up and running. And you might remember recently, Billings broke ground on a new indoor ice arena thanks to $6 million provided by Signal Peak Energy. So with beautiful clean coal, that's how we're able to have some of these beautiful indoor ice arenas and much more. But here's a new report that just came out. Fox News had this report, and then Evelyn Pyburn includes some other reporting from Center Square. Fentanyl and terrorists are still coming into the United States, but not across the southern border. They're coming across the northern border. Montana is one of the states experiencing a most porous northern border. Each year, some 75,000 people in the U.S. die from fentanyl. Of the 14 northern states that share a border with Canada, the greatest number of apprehensions of illegal border crossers were reported in New York, Washington, and Vermont during the Biden administration. This is according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The greatest numbers ever recorded in history in Montana, Maine, North Dakota, and Washington were reported in 2024. Get this, over a two-plus year period, Montana experienced 30,474 apprehensions. Now that you've got those numbers, listen to what FBI Director Kash Patel had to say on Fox News Sunday yesterday, talking about the communist Chinese, talking about Canada and the leftist regime in charge of Canada right now. Listen to what he had to say about fentanyl.
In the first two, 3 months that we've been in the seat under Donald Trump's administration, he has sealed the border. He has stopped border crossings. So where's all the fentanyl coming from still? Where's the trafficking coming from still? Where are all the narco traffickers going to keep bringing this stuff into the country? The northern border. Our adversaries have partnered up with the CCP and others, Russia, Iran, on a variety of different criminal enterprises, and they're going and they're sailing around to Vancouver and coming in by air. And the sheer tyranny of distance of the northern border and the lack of cooperation from federal authorities and prior administrations to actually firm up that northern border is what's causing a continuation of violent crime. Now, we're focused on it, and we're calling our state and local law enforcement partners up there. But you know who has to get to step in is Canada, because they're making it up there and shipping it down here. And I don't care about getting into this debate about making someone the 51st state or not, but they are our partner in the north. And say what you want about Mexico, but they helped us seal the southern border. The facts speak for themselves. The border that's open, I'll give you a statistic that I gave the Congress that nobody was paying attention to. Over 300 known or suspected terrorists crossed into this country last year illegally. Known or suspected terrorists, not illegals. Not just illegals, known or suspected terrorists. 85% of them came in through the northern border. Wow. This year, 100 known.
All right. There you go. That was FBI Director Kash Patel on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. This is exactly why we've been focused on the northern border here. Recently, we had News Nation's Alec Bradley, a national correspondent with News Nation, who was on the ground in Whitefish as Border Patrol agents there had detained several illegal aliens. And I thought what was very interesting about her report as she was chatting with the Border Patrol chief there is he made the point that, think about that, the numbers that we just shared with you from the Big Sky Business Journal, 30,000-plus apprehensions in Montana over a two-plus-year period. And meanwhile, the Joe Biden-John Tester regime was deliberately diverting our northern border resources to the southern border, not to block criminal illegals from entering this country, but to process them into this country while they left our northern flank basically unguarded and unprotected for the invasion to occur there as well. Outrageous. All right, Scott Jennings from CNN should be up right after this. Did you?
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Hey.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I just like watching the highlights. I like seeing all the highlights of Scott Jennings on CNN when he does these like panel discussions. To me, watching Scott Jennings on CNN, it's like watching the Missoula City Council, although it's better than that, because you have like one lone voice of common sense conservatism, maybe two on the Missoula City Council if you're lucky. But Scott Jennings, he's like this lone voice in the darkness. He's this voice in the wilderness. He's the lone common sense voice on this panel discussion. And I love watching the highlights on X, you know, that get shared, whether it's by the Trump War Room or Scott shares it on X or whatever. But one night, I think I was traveling. Maybe I was in Glendive before the Glendive Agri Trade Expo. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit down and actually watch CNN. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he sits there. And I'm not trying to be mean, but he literally has to deal with some of the dumbest people on the planet. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just, I was like, wow, this guy is remarkably patient and disciplined. Scott Jennings, great to have you with us here on Montana Talks. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thanks for the introduction. And thanks for watching CNN on one night.
Well, if I see you, I don't, you know, to be fair, I don't watch a lot of TV. I listen to a lot of it. But one of our listeners, Tim in Billings, he heard you were going to be on. He messaged me earlier. He says, can you ask Scott Jennings later this morning how incredibly hard it is to resist the temptation of doing the loser Fortnite dance over the bodies of the liberals that he slays on a nightly basis on the Communist News Network, figuratively speaking, of course?
Well, you know, what a great question. That question would be appealing to my children. I have four boys, and so any question about Fortnite, they'd be more apt to answer than me. But, you know, I find great value in this debating show because I think it's the only show like it on television. I mean, a lot of cable has become just five or six people sitting around agreeing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, congratulating each other on their increasing levels of smugness. And so CNN comes up with this idea last year, let's have a debating show. And we put it on the air during the election. It was really popular. And it was supposed to be temporary. But now we're still doing it because there's a hunger for the debate. So whether I'm ducking on someone, which is most often, or someone's ducking on me, not very often, The point is, we're having a debate. We're having a real debate about serious issues. And even though sometimes I think the issues are framed, you know, pretty off the rails and wouldn't find their way back if it weren't for my intervention, I think the value is in the debate. And I believe in public discourse. I believe in civil discourse. And, you know, CNN, I got to give them credit. They put it on the air. They've left it there. And it's our highest rated show. And I think it's our fastest growing show. So you can tell the desire for debate is really out there.
Well, we're lucky to be on the radio because we take phone calls from anybody. And so it's always fun to hear from people that disagree and be heard by people that may not agree either. But it's important that there is that voice like you are in some of these dark places, like even Bill Maher from HBO. And he's expressing a lot more common sense recently. But I think you went on to his show on Friday and you spoke into some cultural issues that even resonated with his crowd.
It did. It was, what I do on CNN is not usually in front of a studio audience, so I wasn't sure what to expect out of the California audience. But, yeah, we talked about immigration. We talked about some of the cultural rot that we have going on in America right now and the crisis that we're having among young people, young boys especially, but even some young women. And I was surprised. I said some things that I thought were pretty conservative, and that crowd was buying into it. And also, we talked a lot about Donald Trump's agenda, particularly as it relates to war and peace, or, as I said on the air, peace and war, because he talks about peace more than he talks about war. And the crowd was kind of eating it up. And so what I walked out of there thinking about was there is a lot of cross-pollination right now on the right and left. You know, what we used to think of as red and blue, I think the old constructs are falling away. And Trump's actually assembled a pretty unique coalition that doesn't fit neatly in the old boxes that we used to have. That was one of the takeaways I had Friday. But I agree with you about Bill. He is a voice for free speech and free debate. And he is a pretty honest, good faith guy. So I really enjoyed being on the show.
Well, and it was interesting, too, because as you were, you know, talking out against pornography, the crowd kind of, you know, seemed to laugh at you, want to mock you. But then when you tied it into, you know, young women thinking that they have to sell themselves on OnlyFans and things like that, they actually got it. It actually resonated with them. And so I thought that was a really interesting back and forth. You talk about, you know, instead of war and peace, now it's the party of peace and war. It's very interesting because one of the things I hear from our fellow conservatives is like, you know, what they'll say is it's so remarkable that Scott Jennings is such a strong voice in support of President Donald Trump, because they'll say, you know, he was a Bush guy. And for whatever reason, a lot of Republicans who worked for older Republicans back in the day, nobody's ever as good as their guy. And they never want to, you know, they never want to support the next up and comer because nobody's ever going to be as good as their guy. How do you, as somebody who worked for Bush, then also, you know, support President Donald J. Trump?
Well, good question, and I'll be the first to admit I didn't get it at first. You know, I was skeptical of Trump. I didn't, you know, was it from the Republican Party at all, and he came from the outside. I wasn't trained to believe that someone like that should be able to come in and take over a party, and I didn't get it, and I get it now. And I feel closer to Donald Trump today than I probably have ever felt, because I think he is standing up on two issues that are fundamental: the future of Western civilization and the right to free speech. If we lose either of those battles, we won't be around to argue about tariffs or anything else, because those are the fundamental issues that I think are defining our world politics today, and Trump is our leader in this battle. But I also thought that, you know, the previous Republicans, I mean, I think the right and the left are headed in two very different directions, and it's the right that's going to stand up for free speech and Western civilization. So as somebody who voted for Bush, I happily voted 3 times for Donald Trump. And I've never regretted it one moment, and feel really good about it today, because the alternative last year was a disaster.
You've got a book that gives an unprecedented inside look at how President Trump has retaken Washington by storm. And I, you know, his trip to the Middle East last week is just symbolic of not just taking, but you talk about how he's not just working to, you know, save America and restore common sense to American government, but this is about Western civilization itself.
You know, look, the barbarians are at the gates. I mean, look around the world. What happened on October the 7th, the migration crisis in Europe, frankly, the migration crisis in the United States, the free speech crisis in Europe, the free speech crisis here. I mean, we have people who fundamentally hate Western civilization and hate the American experiment and would love to get rid of it all. I mean, they think America is fundamentally rotten at the core. I mean, that's what a lot of people on the left believe. And so I wanted to write this book. I told the president in February, I thought 100 books would be written, you know, taking shots at him about the first 100 days. But I thought there should be a book that got to the core of what I think he's really doing and what most conservatives believe. He's standing up for Western civilization, and he's shaking up Washington. That's how we see it. I think he's met that standard. And the book is, I'm in editing right now on it. It's been an amazing process. It's my first book, but you can pre-order it today. It's called Revolution of Common Sense. Go on Amazon and pre-order it, and it'll be to you hopefully by November, December.
Yeah. What do you, when we talk about just Western civilization itself is on the brink, well, before we get into those big picture things, of course, the big news over the weekend, you know, we had the HER audio tapes released showing just how out of it Joe Biden was during that, you know, special counsel interview. We have, you know, another book coming out from CNN's Jake Tapper talking about how bad things actually were for Joe Biden. But now all of a sudden, and of course everybody's praying for the Biden family. President Trump is you know offering his thoughts and condolences and prayers for the Biden family. But now that all of a sudden they release his cancer diagnosis, and but it almost seems like now they want everybody to just silence any criticism of the last 4 years of this regime. Now as a result,
well, and I think that's unfortunate. You know, the idea that you would use this cancer diagnosis to say, well, we're not allowed to talk about these issues anymore, because these issues that Jake and Alex Thompson, the other author of the book, are talking about are fundamental to the idea of a constitutional republic. I mean, look, well, here's what we know. The president of the United States was not well. He was mentally in decline. And a very small group of unelected people were shielding him from the rest of the government. I mean, his cabinet didn't even see him for the last 2 years. And I want to know who was making decisions on behalf of the country, because we elect a president. We don't elect a figurehead. We elect a president. And this is fundamental. And I, you know, I heard all these Democrats after 2020 use the phrase the big lie. That's what they always wanted to talk about, the big lie. Brother, there's not a bigger lie than what went on with Joe Biden from 2020 through his term up until right now. And you think about all the Democrats that went on television and swore he was fine. Behind closed doors, he's fine. Now we know the truth. His cancer diagnosis is very unfortunate, because he's obviously very sick, and you always wish the best for people who are going through something very painful. By the way, there's no way. There's no way they just found out about this on Friday. No way. I've seen 100 doctors on TV today saying this just didn't pop up overnight.
Yeah, especially when you're a president of the United States. When you're a president of the United States, more medical attention than probably any other person in the country, I could only imagine. Scott Jennings, CNN's Scott Jennings. Yeah, his book comes out. You can pre-order it now, A Revolution of Common Sense. We've got about a minute to go before the break. And if you want to stick around, we'd keep you, but I imagine you got to run. But what else would you like to tell folks all across Montana in the meantime?
Well, first of all, thanks for watching. I don't know if you're watching CNN, but you might be watching the clips. Thanks for the support. I've been hearing from people in all over the country and some in Montana who are saying things like, I haven't ever watched CNN or I haven't watched it in years, but they're interested in what we're doing. So I'm very grateful for that. I'll be grateful if you buy the book. It'll come out, and I think it'll be illuminating. If you believe what I believe, which is that common sense and a restoration of common sense was needed, then there'll be great vignettes and conversations in here about certain issues that I think will really resonate with people out there. You guys got a great state, a great local Republican delegation, great federal officials. So there's a lot of conservatives in Montana who I'm sure strike behind the president.
What was the biggest wow moment for you with about 10 seconds to go that it's going to come out in the book?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've had some great conversations, but with Elon Musk, I had a great conversation that I think will be really illuminating about how his life has been since he decided to work for the president.
Very interesting. Well, Scott Jennings, keep it up. An honor to chat with you here on Montana Talks. I've got to take a quick break. Stand by. Back right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The One Big Beautiful Bill stalled in the House Budget Committee after five Republicans joined Democrats in voting against advancing it, resulting in a 16-21 failure. The bill aimed to extend 2017 tax cuts, bolster a farm safety net, and cut $1.2 trillion in federal spending, mainly from Medicaid and SNAP, while boosting military and border security funding. Conservatives opposed the bill for not cutting enough spending, noting many savings are delayed until after 2028, while spending is front-loaded. Key farm provisions included increased PLC and ARC payment limits, a mechanism to add 30 million base acres to coverage, and tax breaks like 100% bonus depreciation and a higher business income deduction. Next steps for the bill remain unclear. A new study warns the U.S. may struggle to manage an African swine fever outbreak due to limited testing and lab capacity. The study, done by North Carolina State University, says timely testing is critical, but densely populated farm areas could face major delays. The study found current lab capacity is capped at 1,000 samples per day, leading to median processing delays of 92 days, potentially up to 5 years in worst-case scenarios. African swine fever is highly contagious and often fatal for pigs, making rapid detection and containment essential. I'm Wayne Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, hey, see, you can't say anything bad about the last 4 years now. You can't hold the Biden regime accountable at all because of this news that they just sprung on the American people in the last, 24 to 48 hours. Yeah, isn't it just curious that this book is about to come out in a couple of days, documenting just how bad things truly were behind the scenes. And then the her audio tapes just came out that showed just how out of it Joe Biden was, just how much he had cognitively declined already in the middle of his presidency, if not even before his presidency. But now, nope, can't say anything because they finally come out and tell people that apparently Joe Biden tragically has been diagnosed with cancer. First off, President Trump posted on Truth Social over the weekend, "Melania and I are saddened to hear about Joe Biden's recent medical diagnosis. We extend our warmest and best wishes to Jill and the family, and we wish Joe a fast and successful recovery." So that came from President Donald J. Trump, despite everything, of course, that Joe Biden and the regime tried to do to him and did do. To him, of course. Hey, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Scott Jennings did have to run. He's actually back in Washington, D.C., and he said he's heading up to a meeting on Capitol Hill right now as we speak. So it was great to catch up with him for a few minutes there. And he's got a great Montana connection who linked us up. So big thanks to our friend who lined up that conversation for us. But, yeah, that means phone lines are open for you, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well if you want to jump on the conversation on that front. Yeah, let's see. First off, the her audio tapes. What do we mean by the her audio? Do you guys remember when there was a special counsel that was questioning Joe Biden? And remember, apparently, they sat down together for a lengthy conversation. And remember, that special counsel, basically, Robert Hur was his name, he basically said, yeah, it's pretty clear that Joe Biden violated the law. He violated numerous federal laws. But if we prosecuted him, the jury might be sympathetic, basically, to this old man who's struggling with a lot of medical issues. Remember, that was his, and remember the way that the liberal media mob and the Democrats attacked this special counsel, Robert Hur, over that? Oh, come on. And then people were saying, well, if his summary was not accurate, release the tapes, release the audio footage of this interview with the special counsel and Joe Biden. No, no, no. And they refused to release the tapes. Well, apparently now Axios Media, which is a left-leaning news source, has gotten a hold of the her audio. Here is Rebecca Castor with Fox News over the weekend.
And the audio leaked to Axios is not helping Democrats who are still insisting Biden was not dealing with serious cognitive issues while in office. Listen to this moment where the former president struggled to remember when his son, Bo, died.
What was happening, though, when once Bo died, what's happened in the meantime is is that as and Trump gets elected in November of 2017.
That's when he left in office, January.
My goodness, absolutely painful to listen to that. Remember, he was the sitting president of the United States at the time right now. John Jackson, the Joker from X, who's a retired federal law enforcement officer, lives here in Montana. He typically joins us every Tuesday on this show if we don't have, you know, a town hall meeting or something like that going on here in our statewide show. But he said this, the HER tapes of Grandpa Biden reveal not only that he was a senile old nursing home patient, but that he had an aide in the room with him during the testimony just to help him along with basic facts about his life. Everything we said about him for 4 years was true. Everything the communists said was a lie. Seems like a pattern. And yeah, that's the thing. So if they threw out this whole cancer diagnosis now, stage four, already in the bones, which again, is just a sad deal for anybody. Obviously, they knew about this long before now. Why did they wait until now, after the HER tapes were revealed? Just before this Tapper book is going to come out. And by the way, does the Tapper book really tell us that much more that we didn't already know? I mean, this Tapper book is, oh, look at how bad things were with Joe Biden at the White House. Oh, he was in cognitive decline. And we already knew that. We all saw it with our own eyes. Heck, all you got to do is turn on C-SPAN. All you got to do is watch him try to ride a bicycle on a bike path for 5 seconds, and you will know this guy has some challenges. What are these vultures that are actually running the White House doing to him? Worse yet, what are they doing to our country? It's the health of our country that was even more concerning than the health of Joe Biden. Matt Walsh, a great commentator with thedailywire.com, he had the great documentary, What is a Woman? And then he followed it up with a great comedic performance in Am I Racist? He says, this is the most cynical thing I've ever seen in American politics. It's astounding, truly. Biden has stage four cancer. There is no way in hell they just caught it now. They knew it probably for years and lied to the American people. And then they waited until 2 days before a book comes out about the cover-up of his mental decline so that they could change the subject and quiet all criticism in the name of compassion for a sick man. The whole thing is so transparent. These people are evil beyond words. Evil beyond words. How else would you describe what took place on our northern border, on our southern border? How else would you describe what they did to this country over the last 4 years and what they're continuing to try to do to this country? I mean, even after the November elections, they are doubling down on their open borders agenda. You guys remember Tim Walz? Old tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota? Yeah, apparently he was a commencement speaker over the weekend somewhere. Rapid Response 47 shared this one on X. Where was he at? Anyway, Rapid Response 47 on X, they say this. Disgraced loser, Governor Tim Walz, thinks ICE agents are the, quote, modern-day Gestapo. Listen to Tim Walz at a commencement address. Could you imagine having to sit through that stupid graduation ceremony, listening to this guy say these sorts of things about our brave men and women in federal law enforcement who are taking murderers and rapists and sex traffickers and drug dealers off of the streets of America?
Donald Trump's modern-day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans, wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons. No chance to mount a defense, not even a chance to kiss a loved one goodbye. Just grabbed up by masked agents, shoved into those vans, and disappeared. To be clear, there's no way for us to know whether they were actually criminals or not, because they refused to give them a trial. We're supposed to just take their word for it. And when duly elected members of Congress tried to exercise their constitutional right of oversight at an ICE facility, they get shoved around and threatened with arrest. And when courts told them repeatedly to knock it off, they brazenly...
What a scumbag, Tim Walz. Oh, when Democrats showed up in ICE facility, they got pushed around. No, we saw the woman throwing her belly into it. They tried to break in. They staged a riot. Dare we call it an insurrection outside of an ICE detention facility. They tried to break their way inside, and then they started fighting with federal law enforcement officers in the process. And Tim Walz thinks they're the victims. Jimmy Fallon, the late night comedian with the Saturday night show on Fox News. I think this was before the Biden regime tried to distract everybody with this, with his latest diagnosis here. Here's what he had to say on his Saturday night comedy show.
Like, here's Biden talking to NBC before he announced he was running for re-election. Now, tell me if you notice anything at the end of this that might make running again a bad idea. Just watch, okay? Watch to the end.
I have not made that formal decision, but it's my intention to run again. And we have time to make that decision.
Dr. Biden is for it. Mr. President. Oh.
Yo, he literally woke him up during an interview. He asked if he could serve four more years. The guy hit the snooze button to get 4 more minutes, okay? Watch it again.
Yeah, again, we didn't need the her audio. We didn't need a medical diagnosis. We saw it with our own eyes.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you give us a call right now, I should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 406-294-0970. Real quick, before we get to our next caller on the phone lines here, are you looking for a natural alternative to big pharma and over-the-counter drugs to combat those nagging aches and pains? Are you looking for a more natural alternative for an energy drink, you know, something that isn't loaded up with all those chemicals? Well, let me tell you about a product created by a Big Fork, Montana, United States Marine Corps veteran. Got to meet Lee back in D.C. during Trump's inauguration, and he sent me some of his products here. It's Power Plus Pain Aid, and it's exactly what I just told you about. It's an energizing pain reliever. Increased energy, reduced pain, and it's got, you know, natural vitamins in it, and really it's an all-natural pain relief formula. It also gives you a little energy as well. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, and you can take 15% off your order when you use the code Flint15 at checkout. Into the phone lines we go. Matt in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
A couple of things. The first thing is when I hear the her case of Joe Biden and forgetting his son's death, I find it very striking. I lost his son, and every time I hear I lost him on the second of a month, I always go back and think about when my son has passed away. So I find that very concerning, like a dementia or something. But even more concerning is I do have sympathy and empathy that he did lose his son, because I think that's something you never recover from. But on the cancer diagnosis, it kind of sickens me. With all the, and I do feel bad for him and his family, but like, he's the guy that went out on the campaign trail and said, hey, vote for me, I can cure cancer. And that did not happen. I could personally attest that I lost a son during his presidency. And I find that very concerning when they use things like that for political gain and then not accomplish that. That's really like, you know, giving a lot of people false hope.
Yeah, man, I've thought about you throughout this, because it's like, you know, you never want to see people politicize this stuff. You never want to or try to use something like cancer to strategically position yourself politically to cover up this or that. But, man, it's just, yeah, because I know exactly what you went through. I remember getting your phone calls and your app messages while you were sitting in the hospital and hopefully all this nonsense we talk about on the radio was a good distraction for you and your family, given that horrific ordeal you had to go through.
Absolutely. But, I mean, we also went through like that campaign of Jaden sitting there watching him, Joe Biden, say those things about curing cancer. And that's concerning. And, like, back to the mental acuity, you know, I really believe this. And maybe some people, once you lose a son like he did, I don't know if you ever get that, you know, that full mental capability back, to be honest with you.
It'd be tough, man. I don't know how. I just, man, God bless you. And you know, how you bounce back from that loss. Man, you know, it's you always know that there's good that can come from bad, but it doesn't make the bad and the hard any easier to have to deal with or to swallow. That's for sure. Well, God bless you, Matt. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. 406-294-0970. Clint in Bozeman next up. Clint, what's on your mind this morning?
Mine's pretty simple, Aaron. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Well, I got one question to ask this whole state of Montana. And the question is this. Name me one thing that isn't taxed. That's a challenge to anybody out there.
Good. I don't know if you could find it. I don't know if you
well,
can find one thing.
Everything that we do, everything that we buy, is all taxed in one way or the other. Even the air we breathe through carbon taxes. So I just wanted to find somebody out there that's smarter than I am to tell me, you know, what isn't taxed.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of taxes, I know you're what, 90 years old now. The property taxes are just driving you nuts. Do you think you're going to benefit from the residential property tax relief, or you think the city and county is going to figure out a way to snag it all from you?
They'll take it all. The county and the city will. And reappraisal's what screws all of us.
Yep.
You know, so it's pretty simple. They Bozeman, Montana, Big Sky, all we're one of the highest tax places in the United States. And the reason being is because the very wealthy are coming in here. They're building 3- and 4-story buildings that's with nobody in it. And my banker friends tell me that it's all corporate money that's building it.
Well, that drives up the property values. Yeah, but if you didn't have far-left county commissioners and city commissioners, they could limit the impact of those property appraisals. I mean, yeah, because as bad as it is there, it's even worse in Missoula in terms of, you know, 20% property tax hikes collectively between the city and the county there. But Gallatin County sure is wants to double down on that Missoula-style agenda with, you know, supporting these illegal aliens and more. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, it sure is, Aaron. And it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I don't know if it'll ever get better. It's going to take people that's on fixed incomes that's been here all their lives to have to sell out, and they'll get a big price out of it.
All right. Yeah.
That's the size of it.
Yeah, sometimes things have to get worse before they get better, unfortunately. It's a story throughout world history. It's a story through our history. Frankly, that's why I'm also optimistic and why I'm hopeful, is because of how bad the last 4 years got. I think, you know, next year being America's 250th birthday, you know, I think now with the young people wanting to be free, hopefully we can be free. We can be a free republic for another 250 years with America bouncing back in the right direction. All right, Clint, great to hear from you.